Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
And it has been a long, short week.
Weird.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. And it feels like it should be like Saturday afternoon.
Huh.
Well, like it has been one of those weeks.
Well, that is unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I believe you are.
Well, I mean, I've had a long week myself.
Yeah.
Been renovating the entire bathroom. It's getting the finishing touches today and tomorrow. And Matt, I have a confession to make, and I'm going to do it right after we tell everybody about where we're from. This episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast was brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
That's right. Matt, instead of telling a family story, I'm just going to tell you, tonight I did something that I haven't done since I was a young boy, a young lad. Oh. A child, if you will.
You sat down to pee.
No, I took a bath.
Took a bath? Dude.
I took a bath.
Okay.
My brand new bathtub. My jacuzzi tub, so I had all the bubbles going.
By yourself?
Well, yes. Oh, take baths with other people?
Yeah, man. In jacuzzi tubs? Yeah, my wife and I have taken baths together.
It's a personal jacuzzi tub. I don't have a
figure out how to fit two people in that personal hot tub in my bathroom. I'm just telling you, baths are better with partners.
I mean, Dynasty Trade. The Dynasty Trade Calculator guys, they pay a lot, but they don't pay, you know, jacuzzi hot tub money.
I'm just telling you. If you get that hotel, that honeymoon suite, you get a big old jacuzzi hot tub, get you a partner in there with you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, that may be the case, but this bathtub is amazing. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Great time.
Did you put bubble bath in, or did you just have the jets run?
No, I was surprised. I was looking for my bottle of Mr. Bubbles, and I just couldn't find it. I already told the wife to buy me a couple of those bath bombs, throw those in there. Kablammy. You know what I mean?
Kablammy. Wow. Kablammy.
Can't wait. Holy so that cow. Was the highlight of my, like, month.
Your week?
Week, month, year. I mean, this has been a really, really bad year. So I'll take it.
Oh, I have an update from the week. I'm giving out an award.
Oh.
I'm giving out the Dad of the Week award.
Wow.
Yeah. To Mike Fiella. I don't know if you know Mike. Mike is probably. There it is. I consider Mike a friend. We've been in a fantasy league together for years now, and we are in Scott Fishbowl this year in the same division. This guy owned, I don't know if you've heard of him, but the Podfather out there has a podcast. He's kind of he's a division rival of everyone in our Scott Fishbowl division. And I'm sure if you've been on Twitter, you saw the video. Dude owned the Podfather, and I'm giving him the Dad of the Week award because he is the Podfather's daddy now.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't seen it, go find him on Twitter because it is worth the watch. And it's a 2-minute video and he owns him.
At Podfather then? Is that who you're looking for?
No, Podfather is
the guy that got owned.
The guy that just got, it was glorious. It was glorious. No, Mike, you can find Mike at MFAIELLA 2001.
Probably.
There you go. Yeah. Owned him. I wish I could play it on the air. It's amazing.
Have you retweeted that from the @DynastyDads handle?
I have retweeted that from the @DynastyDads handle on Twitter.
Perfect. Just go to @DynastyDads, you'll find it.
As have 100 other people.
Hey.
Hey-o. The dude has 16,000 views on this Smack Talk video. It is glorious.
So, Matt, there was a lot happening in week one of NFL action, and we have a ton of news and notes, which is a good thing because that's the show, I suppose.
We're a news and notes show. That's right.
So what do you say we just jump right into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, there's plenty of places to start, but I don't know.
Which Broncos story are you starting with this week?
No, I'm not going to do that to you. Le'Veon Bell landed on the IR this week. As a reminder, IR is a little different this year. The IR means that you're only out for a minimum of 3 weeks. Could be longer, but you know they're not going to be playing for the next few weeks. So, yeah, old man.
Can I stop you?
Sure.
What do you think of the new IR rules? Because I actually like them. Of course you do.
I hate it.
Why?
You're either out for the year or you're not. That's an IR to me. The IR
that's how IR used to be. Yeah,
different. I mean, maybe I'm old school.
This is awesome. It allows you to have multiple people on your roster. Like you can
that can't put them on play your IR until 3 weeks from now.
No. For fantasy purposes,
right?
You could put Le'Veon Bell on your IR. Pick up a hotshot guy that's maybe taken off. Hold him for 3 weeks, and if he does great, awesome. Figure out someone else to drop, and if he doesn't, well, you didn't lose anything because your best player's coming back off IR.
Not a fan.
No, of course.
Just not a fan. I know.
Of course.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Go take a hot tub bath.
Man, I'm telling you, if I could take a bath right now, I would. So, old man Frank Gore is starting for the Jets. I mean, which is a little weird. You got Josh Adams behind him.
Right.
And now they just signed Kalen Ballage, probably. Who?
Ballage.
He's reuniting with Adam Crazy-Eyed Gase.
That's right.
So, I guess, what's your thoughts on the backfield just in general for the Jets?
The only one I trust is Gore.
Wow. But you can't trust him as a starter.
You could trust him as an RB3, no?
Ugh.
It's not pretty, but
– he needs to score.
Does he?
Yeah. So, if you could only have one for the rest of the season, it's Gore then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Gore was Josh getting play when Bell wasn't hurt. Yeah. Yeah. But Frank Gore, like, doesn't die. Like, he's the Terminator. I really think he's going to play until his kid comes in the league, which is 3 years. Six times, 24 yards in the week one loss to the Bills. Like, come on. He's a flex-worthy guy, no?
Flex – I think it's matchup dependent. I would like to see how he does when he's – or how this backfield works out this week. I want to see, like, shares. You know what I mean? How involved is Josh Adams going to be? How involved is Ballage going to be?
Josh Adams looked good.
He did look
good.
Very good.
I don't trust Ballage. I saw what Ballage did in Miami. He's the only running back I've ever seen duck a pass. but – the Jets are dumpster fire. Where's Sam Darnold going to be next year? Because they're going to draft a quarterback with the first or second
pick. Oh, Sam Darnold's going to be, on a free agent pool for a while. Yeah. Somebody will take a chance, but he'll be a backup somewhere.
Ooh.
No one's going to sign Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback for 2021. It's not happening.
They could trade for Darnold.
Fletch, Karen. Stop it.
They could trade. Maybe the Saints need a quarterback.
Yeah, they got a couple.
Taysom Hill.
Well, don't forget, Jameis Winston's over there too.
Yeah, for a year. He signed a one-year deal.
Marlon Mack's 2020 season is already over. After tearing his Achilles tendon, the Colts stamped the IR designation on him and announced that, rookie Jonathan Taylor, not to be confused with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Matthew. Tim Toolman Taylor. Nothing. Jonathan Taylor is going to be the starter for the foreseeable future. Now, in week one, Nyheim Hines outsnapped Taylor against the Jags. 39-26, thank you. But both saw 15 touches. Now, you got week two. It's the Vikings, who they just gave up 158 yards on the ground to the Packers. So, Matt, I have to ask, is it Hines or Taylor week two only?
Taylor.
Okay.
Taylor's going to catch passes. Hines caught passes. Taylor's got rookie fever, I guess you could say. Hines did well. I trust Taylor. more.
Do you think Hines is going to be a problem for Jonathan Taylor and his upside for the rest of the fantasy season?
This is going to be an overplayed comparison, but I see Taylor as Melvin Gordon and Hines as Austin Eckler.
No.
Like, no?
No.
Okay. Explain to me why not.
Really, really powerful, like, duo. This isn't going to be like that. I like how everybody just forgets that Nyheim Hines, I don't know, is Nyheim Hines? Like, he's not that
good. Two touchdowns last week and caught a ton of passes.
You're right. So since he had two touchdowns in one game, that means he's really, really good.
Nobody has the quarterback that throws the ball to running backs more than any other quarterback in the history of the NFL.
He also has a quarterback who absolutely looked like he is just cashing a check.
No, that looks – that's Phillip Rivers. That is Phillip Rivers. That has been Phillip Rivers. That is who Phillip Rivers is.
That was Phillip Rivers exhausted after watching 12 of his kids all summer in quarantine.
It's true.
That's what Phillip
Rivers – But that's exactly who he is.
Yeah.
That's Rivers.
I just after that game, I just feel really not really sure about the Colts, man. Not sure about that at all.
The Colts look the same that they did last year, and they had all these improvements. They brought in DeForest Buckner. They brought in Rivers. Mm-hmm. Like, you should probably look a little better. Was Andrew Luck really the glue that held everything together?
Well, speaking of looking a little better, three wide receivers caught 9 of 12 targets for the Falcons last Saturday. Like, three wide receivers had exactly the same target
three of them reception ratio. All went over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah. Julio Jones, 157 yards. Calvin Ridley, 130. And two TDs, mind you. And then Russell Gage with 114 yards. All on 9 catches. All saw 12 targets. Obviously, this is unlikely to repeat everywhere.
Where's Hayden Hurst, Justin?
Well, is Russell Gage somebody that we need to go out and add right now?
Russell Gage isn't eligible to be a renegade. I thought Russell Gage was everybody's like sleeper late last year.
He's still a wide receiver three, but I'll say it this way. Let's change it. If he's on your roster, he's on your bench, and you don't have Calvin Ridley, you don't have Julio Jones, are you starting Russell Gage? Is he your wide receiver two, your wide receiver three, a flex play, something like that?
I think it's absolutely a flex play.
Okay.
I mean, it would obviously depend on your team, but yeah, he's worthy to be in your starting lineup.
I just don't
he did well last year when he was the run as the number two wide receiver.
Yeah, I just don't see how you get 12 targets and not be a part of that offense in some way, shape, or form moving forward.
He's filling that Austin Hooper role, that third receiving option that everybody thought Hurst might step into. Gage has picked up. I mean, at least after 1 week, I trust him.
Okay. Somebody that did the exact opposite of that, Odell Beckham Jr. caught 3 of 10 targets for 22 yards in the Browns' week one loss to the Ravens. The Browns looked absolutely horrible that game.
Is he the number two receiver in Cleveland?
Stop it. I know where you're going with that. Beckham led all Browns players with 10 targets and posted a 25.6 target share. Baker Mayfield struggled to hit Beckham on a number of deep passes. The Browns get an easier matchup versus the Bengals defense next week. I'm not trying to have a conversation where is Odell Beckham Jr. as good as we thought he was, because I think we still know he's an extremely talented guy. But do we still think that about Baker Mayfield? Because he did not look like a championship maker.
Baker, the championship maker.
Not at all.
I'm actually buying Baker in places where I can get him cheap. If owners are going to panic sell, I got him for a couple late firsts in a super flex league. He wasn't the only piece, but that's where I'm at with him. I'll buy him now. I'll pray for a bounce back and then maybe flip him. But he's 25. He'll probably be the Browns starter this year. And then next year they'll bring in a competition if he sucks, a la Mitch Trubisky. So that's where I see him at. I think it's a good time to buy him. One bad game against one of the NFL's top defenses doesn't scare me away yet. Now, if he goes out and has a stinker against the Bengals, it's a short week, but I hope to see a better game this week than I did last week. And if not, it might be time to panic.
Well, I have more wide receiver news. The NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, probably, reports that Michael Thomas is expected to miss several weeks. Thomas' ankle injury is worse than originally believed. It may be bad enough that Thomas has a short stint on the 3-week injured reserve. But Thomas is the type of player to attempt to play through an injury. Still, fantasy governors have to assume he's out the next 2 weeks, and it's worth noting that the Saints' bye week is actually week 6. This is, in all respects, a big blow to a Saints offense that goes as Thomas and Alvin Kamara go, especially with Drew Brees playing as a 41-year-old man. While Thomas is sidelined, Emmanuel Sanders and Tre'Quan Smith – the play here?
Nope. I tell you, everyone's – no, I mean, Manny Sanders is now the wide receiver one, but the guy that's going to see the biggest bump is Jared Cook.
And Jared Cook looked fine.
Give me all the Jared Cook that you can get and start him with confidence, because I think he's the number one passing option now.
So pretty –
I mean, obviously Kamara out of the backfield, but if I have to pick between Cook – Sanders and Tre'Quan Smith, give me Jared Cook.
So Jared Cook has a high floor for you.
Yes.
Okay. Nice. I mean,
he looked good last week. There's going to be more targets there. Yeah, I'll take Cook.
Okay. Let's see. No Ravens running back saw more than 39% of the team's offensive snaps in Week 1 against the Browns.
Go ahead.
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
I report the news, Matt. I have no bias here.
I want some stats here from last week's wager.
Ingram rushed 10 times for a meager 29 yards, losing goal line work to rookie running back J.K. Dobbins, probably, who scored twice. Now, offensive coordinator Greg Roman did say in August that he would rotate running backs on a weekly basis. Do you think that rings true in Week 2, or are we going to see more of the same?
I didn't hear you mention Gus Edwards.
No, Gus Edwards was an absolute afterthought. But then again,
how many carries did Gus Edwards have?
I haven't looked, but I'm guessing.
Oh, not more than J.K. Dobbins, huh?
No, it was 1 week.
Oh, that was what you said last week. I'm willing to bet that Gus Edwards has more carries than J.K. Dobbins
on the season. Did I not?
No, you said week. Okay.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Well, I was wrong.
Even if it's season, I'll take. I got a 10-carry head start. Do I expect him to rotate? Yeah, probably. But I think Dobbins is the guy. Dobbins, he drafted Edwards him in the second round.
Gus Edwards had four carries week one against that vaunted defense.
Yeah, 60% less than. Anyway, give me the rookie. Give me all the rookie fresh legs. Ingram's nice. Ingram's a nice piece. He's there to mentor. He's 31. I'll take Dobbins all day.
The Browns placed tight end David Njoku on injured reserve.
Probably.
Njoku worked behind fourth-round rookie tight end Harrison Bryant while available, but he still spiked 3 catches for 50 yards and a touch before leaving the game. Now, Kevin Stefanski's probably – Browns ran the second highest rate of 12 personnel, which is 1 running back, 2 tight ends in week 1.
Yeah.
Okay. That leaves ample opportunity for Bryant to step in for Njoku as a deep league like stash at this point. It's unclear if Njoku is going to be ready to go when he's available or when he's activated on week 5. But Matt,
isn't this the same Njoku that requested a trade?
Yeah.
The same guy that wants out of town.
Njoku was the only tight end in Cleveland to do anything, though, in week 1, which you have to like to see that. But Hooper. You like Hooper more, I guess, now that Njoku's gone, or did not even really
change? Yeah. No, why would you not? Why would you not like him if someone, no offense, someone talented, someone got hurt? Because it's more opportunities for the better guy.
Because when Hooper came on board, a lot of people really just dumped on Njoku. Because I think
Njoku had, 2 catches for 2 yards? You know who else had a touchdown this past week?
3 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. A very short touchdown.
Okay. You know who else had a touchdown that we have given up on in the tight end position? O.J. Howard. Because defenses go, oh, that guy's trash. We're not going to cover him. It's week 1.
So what do you think about Harrison Bryant? Are you on board with me as like a deep league kind of stash right now?
If he's available, yeah, you can stash him. I wouldn't start him. But Stefanski does run a lot of 2 tight end sets. When he was with Minnesota, they ran the most 2 tight end sets. That's why people were high on Herb Smith there too.
You're going to have to be really, really desperate to be in a situation where you have to start Harrison Bryant. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, even I wouldn't even start him in a tight end premium league. I would find another option.
But I bet you there's a decent chance that Harrison Bryant like scores like 6 times this year.
David Njoku's on pace to score 16 touchdowns this year. So
he's going to be on the field so much. It's going to happen. He seems like a talented dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's stick with the tight end work. We got Cowboys tight end Blake Jarwin suffered a torn ACL in week 1 against the Rams. Jarwin hit the ground on a non-contact injury while just running around crumbled. The first half. Yeah. It's a massive blow for an organization after rewarded.
No, it's not. Shut up.
He just got a 3-year extension. He's 26.
It's not a massive blow. If the Dallas Cowboys were relying on Blake Jarwin to win games, they suck.
If you would have let me finish the damn sentence, he's an every down role player. He's expected to be on the field every down. It's kind of a big blow. He's a starting player on an NFL team. How excited are you for Dalton Schultz? Probably.
Dalton Schultz? I'm not excited for Dalton Schultz. What I'm excited for?
Dalton Schultz season, baby.
Give me the CD Lamb.
I like where you're going with this. When a tight end goes down, you're just like, oh, just means more for the wide receiver. And then when a wide receiver goes down, oh, it means more for the tight end, a la Jared Cook.
Yeah.
Flip-flopping on me.
I'm not flip-flopping. I'm not position-dependent. It's talent-dependent. Mm-hmm. I've seen Dalton Schultz play. I've seen Dalton Schultz drop catches. I've seen he had one game where he scored 3 touchdowns. I've also seen CeeDee Lamb look pretty darn good. The dude needs to learn how to run a 3-yard route when you need 3 yards on fourth down, but that's beside the point.
Dalton Schultz did have 4 targets in week 1, mind you.
How many catches did he have?
1 for 11 yards.
Oh, okay. So he dropped 3 of them. He's trash. Go trade for Jason Witten. Wow. I guarantee John Gruden would give up Jason Witten right now.
Yeah.
This is 3rd tight end.
The Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew completed 19 of 20 passes for 173 yards and 3 scores, adding 5 carries for 19 yards in Jacksonville's 27-20 week 1 upset over the Colts. Trailing 2017 with 6 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, Minshew extended the play outside the pocket and hit Keelan Cole, who went 5 for 47 in a touch. For the 22-yard go-ahead score over Indy, the second-year signal caller was decisive in week 1, hitting 10 different receivers and adding fantasy points with his legs. Sunday was arguably Minshew's toughest test for the next 5 games as the Jaguars prep to face, get this, the Titans, the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Texans, and the Lions through week 6.
Hey, how many catches did D.D. Westbrook have?
0, right?
0, because he was inactive.
I don't think he even played, yeah.
No.
Terrible. What a fall from grace. I have 2 things for you, Matt. 1, Minshew owes me $50 for betting he'd throw 1 damn interception in that game. That was a nice little prop bet. Thank you, Bovada. Yeah. And let's play name game. You ready?
Okay.
Rest of the way.
This season. Okay.
Gardner Minshew. Teddy Bridgewater.
Minshew.
Gardner Minshew or Trubisky.
Minshew.
Yeah, I thought so. It's going to get a little bit more difficult. Brady. All right. As in
Tom. I'll take terrific Tom. I thought you were going to say Breeze.
Phillip Rivers. See?
Minshew.
Got 2 more for you.
Okay, this is getting hard.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Next.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, man. I'd probably go Minshew. I expect Baker to step. I don't know. Baker's going to be okay, I think. But Minshew has swagger, man. Like, what?
Baker Mayfield doesn't have swagger? Baker Mayfield's on there doing, like, Hulu commercials.
Baker Mayfield has ads. He doesn't have swagger. What have you done? And what have you seen Baker Mayfield do on a football field that makes you think he has football swagger?
In the
NFL, he spiked a flag into midfield at Ohio State one time.
I'm going Gardner Minshew pretty easily there. I think the biggest thing you can like point at as to why is like Baker Mayfield's had Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, who I think is a really talented tight end. He's had Nick Chubb. He's had Odell Kareem Beckham Hunt. Jr., arguably one of the top young talents at wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Don't poo-poo him.
And he hasn't done anything. Stop it. You stop it. Gardner Minshew is over here throwing bombs to Keelan Cole.
Yeah.
Made Dede Westbrook look like he was going to be a relevant wide receiver at one point in his career. Stop it. There were people that were on the Dede Westbrook train. Don't even.
You were the only one on that train.
If you listened to literally any other podcast at the time, people were high on Dede Westbrook. I'm not making that up.
Just shows how much knowledge I have in this brain of mine.
Right. It's Gardner Minshew over Baker Mayfield. Like, it's not close for me. You give me that trade straight up, I'm taking Minshew side every day. All day. Every day.
Okay. I think you might be overreacting a little bit, but
you gotta overreact, Matt. That's this game.
You don't have to overreact. I know that's what you think you do after 1 week. You just go out and blow your load on like everybody. Like you probably have $100 fab bid on Heinz right now.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. But yeah. I'm also a podcast host, and a podcast host is supposed to overreact. That's what I hear.
So. No. Be realistic.
Nah.
No, people. Don't go and blow all your free agent money week one. Don't do it. It's not
Don't
smart.
Blow your free agent money unless you're going to blow it on Peyton Barber, who had the most Peyton Barber stat line Peyton Barber has ever Peyton Barbered in Washington's week one win over the Eagles.
Who, by the way, I called that. I said, give me Washington with 5.5.
You did, and this one actually buried me in my survivor pool. So,
yeah,
I'm out week one. Never happened to me before.
Yikes.
Gone. So embarrassing. Yikes. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yep. PB, as I like to call him, rushed 17 times for 29 yards and 2 touchdowns and wasn't targeted in the passing game. I'm going to read that again for those of you who are a little slow. 17 times for 29 yards and still scored dose touchdowns. That's 2.
Yeah.
He also outsnapped Antonio Gibson, who at one point in the offseason was everybody's homeboy. Outsnapped
Shocker.
Him 38-18.
Wait a minute. You mean Ron Rivera has a running back by committee? I'm shocked. If only I knew someone that said all offseason, Ron Rivera has running backs by committee. Who would have said something as crazy as that?
That's right. And we agree that Ron Rivera is one of the most overrated coaches.
Last time you said that about a coach who won the Super Bowl that next year. So
it took a long time for Andy Reid to win anything real. Let's be honest.
I'm just telling you, Washington is a committee. It's a committee in Washington. If you didn't see that coming, you don't listen to the show.
The Eagles coach, Doug Peterson, said DeSean Jackson's snaps will increase each week. DJax finished with 7 targets on 37 snaps, the fewest among Philly's starters. The Eagles have juicy matchups against the Rams and Bengals on deck. And, well, Jackson, who led all receivers in air yards per target, 30.8, on Sunday, will clearly be more involved moving forward. I really don't know how this is going to go with you, but DeSean Jackson, moving forward, a flex play.
No.
Trade him. I have the rest of my question. I started the wrong way. I should have started up because I was going to ask you about a wide receiver 2.
Oh.
I was going to make funnies and say a wide receiver 1.
Not even close.
No. Not even a flex play for you.
No.
If you have to start 3 wide receivers, he's not a flex play for you.
I mean, maybe.
He's matchup dependent, right?
I guess. What has he done the last year and a half? Like, if from a fantasy perspective, I know everyone was super excited when he came back to Philly, and he's going to feel this deep, bro. We're the Go Birds. Rah! And then he got hurt. And then Alshon Jeffrey got hurt. And then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside dropped a bunch of passes. And DeSean Jackson still hasn't done anything.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. Well, in 2019, he only played three games. So you're not wrong. He looked good in those three games.
You know who the best receivers in Philly are? They're not receivers. They're tight ends. Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert are the two best pass catchers.
That's true.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. I really like Jalen Reagor. I think Reagor is going to have a solid year. But he's not the number one. Like those two, and I think you can see by the box score, those two guys, the tight ends, are the guys that catch passes.
Amari Cooper caught 10 of 14 targets for 81 yards in week one against the Rams. The yards and targets were both team highs. Cooper was quiet most of the night before Dak Prescott locked on him for the final drive. CeeDee Lamb looked pretty damn good as well, like you mentioned before. That offense entirely looked really good to me.
Except for when it comes time to get a fourth and three or kick a field goal.
Right, but for fantasy purposes, I mean, I'm on board, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott looked freaking good. Like,
RB1 kind of good.
Dude, Zeke looked amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to, like, go crazy over here, but, like, man.
I like it. Some of those runs I like this tummy tat. He has a tummy tat now.
He has a tummy tat. That's weird.
No, so, and that's why I don't think losing Jarwin's going to hurt anything because Jarwin didn't do much beforehand. They have three passing options. Gallup looked good, had a big play called back on a penalty. Like, I'm all in on the Dallas offense.
If you had to get a tummy tat, like somebody said, hey, Matt, gun to your head, you either get a tummy tat today or I kill you, what are you going to get a tummy tat of?
You're putting me on the spot here.
You want to hear mine? Because I've thought about it.
Sure.
It's totally a starfish.
Why have you thought about this?
Starfish. Nowhere near it. Like, it's just absolute starfish. Like, around the belly button.
That's weird.
Like, the belly button is, like, that little, like, the very center of the starfish. Big fan.
Okay. Congrats.
Okay, let's hear yours. You got going.
I don't have one. No. If you don't pick, I'm going to piss for you. I'd get abs tattooed on to me. Because
I really thought you were going to say, like, the Dallas. I really thought you were going to say, like, the Dallas Star.
No. I'm not a big sports fan. I'd get, like, a quote on my belly before I'd get the Dallas Cowboys star.
A quote on your belly? What would the quote be?
I don't know. Like, what are you doing right now?
Roses are red, violets are blue.
No.
I got a belly tat. How about you?
What are we doing right now? This is my fault for mentioning Zeke's belly tat.
The Chargers coach, Anthony Lynn. The Chargers coach, Anthony Lynn, said it's still a priority, to get Austin Eckler probably touches moving forward. Lynn also admitted his new scheme with Tyrod Taylor will continue to limit checkdowns to running backs.
Oh, great. That's Eckler, what made Eckler good.
Eckler was Los Angeles' workhorse on Sunday, out carrying Josh Kelly 19-12, but only saw one target compared to 6.8 per game last season. He is expected to see an uptick in the receiving game against the Chiefs in week two, but Eckler's target volume remains a concern moving forward. Apparently, Justin Jackson died. I don't know. But what the fudge is a Joshua Kelly?
He's a rookie RB3? RB4?
I went from thinking Justin Jackson was the sneaky sleeper of the season to being completely out. Josh Kelly looked great.
Wow. Yeah, Josh Kelly did look great. I'm amazed you're out on Justin Jackson.
Like, I'm not, like, cutting him from all my rosters. Like, if it's a deep enough bench, I'm going to hold on to him. But if you just kind of had him stashed on your average roster, I'm out. Like, he's a cuttable guy.
I don't pick up a hot
free agent.
Like Frank Gore? Like Josh Adams?
Like, I wouldn't cut Justin Jackson
like LaVisca Chenault.
Nah. I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm too busy trying to think of, like, what kind of quote.
Here you go. We're getting Justin Jackson or Tony Pollard.
Dude, Tony Pollard looked good too.
That's the Dallas offense, man.
Is it Pollard or Pollard?
Probably.
Probably.
Peyton Barber or Justin Jackson?
Peyton Barber.
Kerryon Johnson or Justin Jackson.
Oh, don't do this to me. It's Kerryon Johnson, but I don't feel good about it.
Okay, so we found your line.
Kerryon Johnson had 7 carries for 14 yards in week 1 against Chicago. That's still well, 7 Justin more Jackson carries had. Than Justin Jackson, yeah.
That's right.
Johnson, Kerryon Johnson got the start somehow, but lost the snaps to Adrian Peterson in the second half. He wasn't targeted in the passing game. That's where DeAndre Swift got most of the work. Johnson's 7 touches were behind Peterson, who had 17, and just 1 ahead of DeAndre Swift, who had 6. I'm out on Kerryon Johnson until an injury happens to AP or Swift. You?
Didn't we all see the writing on the wall when they brought in Adrian Peterson? And week 1, they gave the new guy the most carries?
Yeah. You can't start Kerryon Johnson with any kind of confidence.
Were people starting him with confidence?
No, but people were starting him expecting because he was the starter. They were expecting him to do something. I wasn't expecting him to lose his snaps.
Detroit did nothing to make people think that Kerryon Johnson was going to be relevant. Besides say, yeah, he's our starter.
I'll tell you one thing. Detroit did nothing to make me think they're going to be a relevant team in general. They look terrible.
Yeah, that's Detroit.
Especially the second
half. Some teams just look bad. Detroit usually always looks bad. The Browns usually always look bad.
You have to imagine that DeAndre Swift has more snaps than Kerryon Johnson next week, do you not?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that as a coach of the team? Well, you're Matt Patricia, so you do some pretty questionable stuff to begin with.
See? And it's Detroit. So maybe we need to think about this differently.
Who's the first head coach fired?
Dude, if you told me it's Patricia, I'm not shocked.
I'm not either.
Boy, I was thinking about that the other day, though. I had a good one. Oh, damn it.
I could see I'm blanking on his name. Atlanta's head coach.
No. Are you kidding me?
If they stumble? Are you serious?
Dude, that offense looked lights out, though.
Yeah, and they lost. This isn't the best offensive league. It's the who wins the most games.
Yeah, I don't know. Man, I wish I could think of who I had in my head. If you told me it was Patricia, though, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, that could be the first cut, and I'd be like, yeah, kind of deserves it. Dude's had a lot of talent there, and he hasn't been able to do anything with it. Like, anything with it. At all.
Nope.
Both Jimmy Graham and Greg Olsen scored touchdowns in week 1 and just over 20 yards. Like, one was 25, one was 26. Graham plays the Giants week 2. Olsen the Patriots. Who's most likely to score again?
Greg Olsen. I think I said this on my other podcast. Like, I like Greg Olsen in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy Graham, okay. Give me Greg Olsen in Seattle. It just seems like a fit that works well. I don't trust Trubisky to keep up his amazingly hot pace. And they overpaid Jimmy Graham, and there's like 17 other tight ends available for Chicago to trot out there. So give me Jimmy Graham. Or give me Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen. Okay. I have a little bit of breaking news for you. The sun is hot. Water is wet. And DeAndre Hopkins is good at football.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals wide receiver caught 14 of 16 targets for 151 yards in the Cardinals' week 1 win over the Niners. Hopkins hauled in a career-high 14 receptions on a 40% target share from Kyler Murray. He actually left meat on the bone as his 34-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter was negated and brought back to the 1-yard line, allowing Kenyon Drake, who rushed 16 times for 60 yards and a touchdown, to punch it in for the go-ahead score. The next closest receivers on the team, Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, totaled 5 targets together and a 12.5% target share. Washington is up next week. My professional advice would be to start DeAndre Hopkins. What say you?
I'm glad people pay for that advice? That's good advice.
Yes.
Yeah, you should start it. But I will caution you.
That's why DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Pays us to tell the people.
I will caution you. Washington's defense is better than they're getting credit for. That defensive line is good. and they will get pressure on Kyler Murray.
He Good thing won't Kyler have Murray all day.
I understand. I get it. But I think – I don't think Hopkins is going to have another day like he had against the 49ers.
Were you as surprised as I was that DeAndre Hopkins' career high was only 14 receptions in a game?
Did you know that DeAndre Hopkins' coach last year was Bill O'Brien and the man – traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson?
Yeah, I did. But
okay,
that was really surprising to me.
14's a lot of
a hell of a number.
That's I was just, pretty big.
But he's always in my head has been this amazing wide receiver. I figured he had done that before.
What was your number?
I was like, I was expecting like a 15, 16 kind of game. I don't know.
That's a lot.
Dude, I'm not
it's
saying
not Madden it's not. Where you can like focus on your wide receiver one.
They kind of did, Matt. He had a 40% target share.
That's on the 49ers.
The 49ers are kind of good.
You should cover that guy.
Yeah, you would think that would have been the plan.
But Sherman's over the hill, so.
And he's actually on the IR now.
Yeah. Rats.
Matt, I want to. Don't like Sherman? No?
Do people like Sherman?
There's somebody out there. His mama.
Probably Robinson.
Matt, that's really all the news and notes I have, but I want to end this segment on a game.
I love games.
It's a new game.
Ooh.
I'm going to call it Real Recognize Real, and it's simple. I'm going to tell you about two things that happened this past week, and you're going to tell me which is most likely to be the realest.
Okay. And then
most likely to repeat or just be the most legitimate thing to happen. Okay.
Okay.
Question one, Josh Jacobs being that damn good or the Panthers D being that damn bad? Three
Josh Jacobs
for Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is really good.
So Josh Jacobs is the realest.
Is the realest.
Okay. Peyton Barber scoring touchdowns just in general or Leonard Fournette being outsnapped by LeSean McCoy 2-1.
Peyton Barber scoring touchdowns is the realist.
That was one of my favorite questions. I was surprised to see
that was a good one.
I was surprised to see Fournette being outsnapped by LeSean McCoy 2-1.
Why? It's Fournette's first week with the team. Like he got cut late in the year. He doesn't know the playbook. I get it. He hangs out with Tom Brady and they take cool pictures with each other. And Fournette says he finally has a quarterback, but he's on a team with three other running backs. Like, That's not shocking.
It was
he'll get his numbers
first week with the Lions, and he had 17 carries.
Right, but that's Detroit, and Detroit sucks. And Tampa. Wait! All the news coming out of Tampa is that Ronald Jones is a stud, and he's going to be great, and this is awesome. And why did anybody think it would be any different? Yeah, Ronald Jones is good. Ronald Jones looked good.
I think you would have been silly to think that Leonard Fournette would have had more carries than Ronald Jones. This isn't Ronald Jones I'm talking about.
No.
This is LeSean McCoy.
I know.
The guy that has been an
afterthought. It's 1 week. That's why I don't think it's – I think Peyton Barber is going to score touchdowns. I don't think Fournette's going to continue to get outsnapped by LeSean McCoy. I agree with you.
The better 2020, LeSean McCoy or Fournette, you're going Fournette.
Yes.
Okay. Probably because LeSean McCoy is going to like tear his Achilles or something.
Maybe
like week
like
three.
If there's things we know about NFL players, Philip Rivers likes to have kids, and LeSean McCoy gets hurt.
I don't mean to go off track. The Buccaneers have to be one of the most overrated teams of all time right now. I was so happy to see them lose.
Overrated. I remember Philly coming up with the dream team.
Oh yeah, that was
with
very
Vince,
short-lived.
What was it, Vince? Former Texas quarterback.
Young.
Vince, thank you. Vince Young and DeMarco Murray and Chip Kelly's coming in. That was the most overrated team in the history of
NFL. Chip Kelly. Okay, last one for you. Latavius Murray with more carries than Kamara or Raheem Mostert, probably, with over 60% of the San Francisco running back touches.
So which one's more real that's likely going to continue to happen?
Who's the realist, Matt? Duh.
Raheem Mostert. Duh, realist.
So Raheem Mostert as like the, not bell cow, but the lead dog in San Fran is more real than Latavius Murray getting more carries than Alvin Kamara.
Facts.
Okay.
Big facts.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
The realist.
What do you think of the real record?
I love it. Please continue to do it.
Oh. Well.
I love it.
Thing you said to me on the show in a long time, Matt.
I love it.
Okay. We'll keep
you're doing. Our second best dad of the week.
Hey, I will take it.
I guess that makes me third, but whatever.
Silver is silver, Matthew. Silver is silver.
Yeah.
Matt, are you ready?
The Renegades.
Renshaw's Renegades. Here we go. Renshaw's Renegades. Renegades. Yeah, the Renegades. Renshaw's Renegades. Yeah. All right, Matt, we are back. Renshaw's Renegades. Here we go.
Gosh, that sounder is the best thing ever. I love it. So, Renshaw's Renegades last week, Steven Sims, 3 catches, 50 yards, 8 points. I'll take it from a guy that was owned in less than 50% of leagues. We're going with another wide receiver who kind of had a big week. Kind of part of that overrated Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. But, Scotty Miller.
Ayo.
Owned in less than 50% of MFL leagues. Okay. Chris Godwin's in the concussion protocol. Mike Evans had a tissue issue. And Scotty Miller had 5 receptions for 73 yards. Tom Brady found his new Julian Edelman.
Whoa. Way, boy.
Slot machine Scotty Miller.
Okay.
And then I'm going deep dive on this next one. Okay. Super deep. I honestly, if this guy is owned in one of your leagues, screenshot it and send it to me because I'm probably the owner of this guy in that league with you.
The governor.
Whatever. Manager.
Oh, team manager.
Team runner.
Okay.
Guy picking lineups.
Hey, easy with the picking. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Jordan Reed.
Okay.
Jordan Reed. If Kittle misses time, Jordan Reed, to me, is a tight end too. The Jets' defense is awful, and Reed didn't look too bad. Career resurgence if he doesn't get his brain scrambled into eggs. He's got like 7. Who has what is the – let's play – what's the realist? Phillip Rivers has another kid or Jordan Reed has another concussion?
Oh, it's definitely Jordan Reed's concussion history.
Thank you.
Gosh.
But that the tight end position in San Francisco puts up points, and I know it's been Kittle for a while. I think there'll be opportunities for Reed if Kittle is out. So, and he's available everywhere. I think he was owned in 5% of leagues.
Wow, that was a deep dive then.
Yes.
All right. Good for you, Matthew. Look at you trying.
Trying. I got to win silver next week.
For new listeners, we are going to next week talk about the hot takes that we talked about last week.
Oh, we're gonna update
everybody, and boy, those are fun. Until then, be sure to check out DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
For all of your dynasty needs, they have rankings. They have swag. Do kids still say swag anymore? It doesn't matter. Be sure to check them out. And then be sure to follow them on Twitter. You can also follow us at Dynasty Dads. That is where you get all of your up-to-date news. And Matt retweets some of the biggest burns in the fantasy community. Right, Matthew?
True.
That's very true.
Like Fiala.
That's right. Until then, enjoy the football. And we will see you all next week.
We out.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, dynastydads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.